Take a moment now and meditate on your own personal needs before we proceed. I've asked Bill Hodson to read for us the scripture reading today from Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25. It's on page 681 if you don't have a Bible, in the pew Bible, 681. It's a familiar passage, and so we ask that you stand in honor of God's word as we read the scripture.
This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Please be seated. I thank you for the opportunity to share with you today what the Lord has laid on my heart concerning the wonders of Christmas. Many years ago, they made movies that were so extravagant that they hardly had words grand enough to describe them. You may remember some of them. The main producer of these movies was Cecil B. DeMille, and they would use superlatives like magnificent, colossal, stupendous, wonderful, epic. With each of these movies, they reminded us that there would be casts of thousands. Sometimes in actual events, there are things that happen which could be described in similar terms that would cause us to express great wonder. The birth of our Savior was one of these events. There was a cast of thousands, maybe even millions, if we count all the angels. There were shepherds in the field, an innkeeper, wise men from afar, the lead characters, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. Then there was God, which was the central focus of it all. And there were bit players, like the visitors that had come to Bethlehem that night. Oh, and even an evil king. What could be more wonderful than all that? Well, let us look at how this all came about and be filled with wonder at what God has done and how he has done it. Since we're going to talk about the wonders of Christmas, it was always God's intention that the Jews would bring God's message to all the nations, which includes the Gentile nations. As we think of Christ's birth, Christmas, which we just celebrated, we look back to the time when God called a pagan idolater from Mesopotamia named Abraham and told him that he would make his descendants into a great nation through whom all the nations would be blessed. God intended him to show the world that he, the one whom Abraham would worship, is the creator God and is to be worshiped and obeyed by all. So Abraham was to tell the world about his God, Yahweh, but his descendants would be the ones to tell the world about the Savior that God would give to the world. This Emmanuel that we read about in the scripture would be that Savior. From the Gospel of Matthew, we learn that an angel appeared to Joseph and told him to go ahead and marry Mary. Take her home as your wife, because the baby she is carrying is from God, the Holy Spirit. The angel also told him that the baby would be a son and that Joseph should call his name Jesus. The name Jesus would announce that this child would save his people, the Jews, from their sins. The name Jesus means Savior. We find that the word Jesus is used to designate that he, Jesus, is the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Jesus himself uses it as a title in Luke 24, verse 26, where he says, "Thus it stands written that the Christ," meaning himself, "should suffer and rise from the dead the third day." Sometimes we see things that are so obvious that we focus on them to the exclusion of other important things. As an example, we find that the child that Mary delivers is to be called Jesus. But what about the other name that is to be used for the child? That name is found in the next verses of Matthew 12, or 1, verse 22 and 23, and the name is Emmanuel, which means God is with us. This name, Emmanuel, is an important name, and we hear it often during the Christmas season. It is sung in Christmas carols, O come, Emmanuel, and appears on Christmas cards. And we seldom take the time to reflect on what it means or how it impacts our daily lives. While we find the word here in Matthew's gospel, it's also found in the Old Testament book of Isaiah. God revealed this name to Isaiah as part of a promise that he made to King Ahaz of Judah. This was when the nation of Israel was divided. It was also part of a future prophecy that would take place centuries later, the birth of Jesus. When the nation divided into two, they became rivals and had many conflicts between them. They would also combine with other nations to do battle with the opposing family tribes. It was at this time that Aram, Syria, combined with Israel in the north to attack Judah in the south. They were attempting to build up a large army to protect themselves against Assyria, the most dominant and powerful nation at that time. The dominant nations changed over time. You'll remember later it would be Babylon and their attack on Judah, then Cyrus, who released the captured Jews to return to Jerusalem. He was Cyrus the Great of Persia. And then this was followed by Alexander the Great, king of Macedon, who introduced Greek culture into the area. And then Rome, who was in power at the time of Jesus' birth. Isaiah prophesied during the reign of four kings, Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. All were kings of Judah. Israel had its own kings. Ahaz was king at the time when God told Isaiah to go and meet with the king and say, "Ahaz, be careful, be calm, and don't be afraid of Syria and Ephraim, Israel, who have plotted your ruin. It will not take place." So God is assuring them that they will not be overcome. Then the Lord spoke to Ahaz through Isaiah, and he said, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign." But Ahaz refused. He feigned humility and acted unworthy to ask God anything. Then Isaiah said, "Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The sign will be, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Before he knows right from wrong, the land of the two kings you dread, your enemies, will be laid waste. The armies of Assyria will destroy them." And we learned there are a great many signs and symbols given by Isaiah. The name Emmanuel is one of them. It means God with us. Signs were meant to be fulfilled within a short period of time, like a few years. But in prophecy, we know that it could be a long period of time before it's fulfilled. As Paul indicates in his New Testament writings, prophecy with a long time period between revelation and fulfillment was a mystery to the prophets of old. For example, the church age was a mystery, and so was the second coming of Christ. But the disciples, they realized that the first advent had been foretold by the prophets. This prophecy was revealed in the book of Isaiah. So in prophecy, we sometimes find the immediate fulfillment in the situation at hand, and the long-term fulfillment revealed much later. The prophecy to Ahaz was fulfilled within several years. The Assyrian army did come and destroy Aram, Syria, and Israel. But Judah the king and King Ahaz were saved. God had given Ahaz a sign for this event when he told Isaiah to name his son Maher-shalal Hash-Baz, meaning quick to the plunder, swift to the spoil. As prophesied, the Assyrians plundered and destroyed these two nations, as God said he would. What about the name Emmanuel, God with us? We know that Isaiah's son was not named Emmanuel, but in Isaiah 8:10, God warned the enemies of Judah that this was God's land, that their strategy and their plan would not stand because of Emmanuel, God with us. The far-reaching significance of this prophecy concerning a child is found in Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. It says, "There will be a future promised child. and he too will be called Emmanuel. And when this occurs, much more is promised to Judah, and the promise will be expanded to include the world. This is a message of hope to all people. Isaiah tells us about this event. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. This child will have many names which describes him: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government will have no end. He will establish judgment and justice from the time he comes and forever. He will perform this as the Lord of hosts. We begin to see that the child that was born to Isaiah was for his time. And he prophesied that Assyria would destroy Syria and Israel, and his son Maher Shalal Hashbaz was the sign that predicted it through his name, quick to the plunder, swift to the spoil. But it was not this child, but another child in the future who would be the Emmanuel. God is with us. What we learn is that Isaiah's child would be a sign, a type of another child yet to be born. We learn this in Isaiah 8:18, where he says, "Here am I, and the children the Lord has given me. We are signs and symbols in Israel from the Lord Almighty who dwells on Mount Zion." To see the promise of this child fulfilled, we move quickly to the New Testament, several centuries later. Here we learn details of its fulfillment in Matthew 1, 22 and 23, which we read today. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet Isaiah. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. We also learn of another name. Not only was the child called Emmanuel, but his name was to be Jesus. While God is with us, he will save his people from their sins. What a wonder. God came as a baby, and among other things that he did, he was going to save his people from their sins. We know that the penalty for sin is what? Death. But this Jesus, who grew up in the normal way, provided salvation. Salvation for his people and all people of the world. No wonder the Apostle Paul said in his letter to the Ephesians, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the way of the world and the ruler of the kingdoms of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient." Sending Jesus to earth was an act of love. God loved us so much that he sent his only son to save us from our sins. Like the others, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. For it's by grace we have been saved. Did you ever wonder why God came to earth as a little babe, a gentle child, so meek and mild? It makes perfect sense when we remember how the people reacted to his appearance at Mount Zion. The people had to move away from the mountain or they would be destroyed because of God's great power. When God came to the tabernacle and filled it with his Shekinah glory, they had to look away because it shone so brightly Even when Moses was with God on the mountain, Moses had to cover his face so the people could look at him. God would have to use another way to come to his people. So he came as a child to a virgin girl and the Holy Spirit. That child grew from infant to manhood in the usual way. God knew that this would enable the child to experience the things that other people experience: sorrow, joy, pain, sadness, cold, hunger, and even life and death. What was different about the birth of Jesus? As far as we know, his birth was normal. It was his conception that was the miracle. From God's perspective, it was a simple thing. But from man's perspective, it was filled with wonder. Matthew tells us that Joseph was a righteous man, which indicates that he was living according to God's law. He was going to terminate the relationship. But when the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, he knew this was from God. So he immediately got up and acted as he was directed. The angel told him, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." While Matthew presents the story from Joseph's standpoint, Luke tells it from Mary's experience in Luke 1:26-38. You should all take the time to read this passage, and I recommend it. But for now, we'll look at a section of it. This story follows the story that was about Elizabeth, a relative of Mary, who was 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist. The angel said, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." And she said, "How can this be? I do not know a man." And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. For with God, nothing is impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Soon Joseph was told that his betrothed bride to be was with child of the Holy Spirit. And when the birth took place, Jesus would be fully man through Mary, his mother, and fully God in human flesh. When God calls his beloved son Emmanuel, he means him to be known as God with us in the closest possible sense. But Mary and Joseph believed God's word and followed his command. Why is it today, some 2,000 years later, so many people of this generation question God and refuse to believe what he has done? As we reflect and are filled with wonder, let us believe that God became one of us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. God made it perfectly clear that there was only one Savior through whom Yahweh would save anyone from their sin. No one else in all creation was identified in this way. Only Jesus, this Emmanuel, would save people from their sin. Jesus himself confirms this in Scripture. He told the Pharisees, "If you do not believe that I am he," that is the Savior, "you will die in your sins." He also said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Peter said, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. John also says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Believe in Jesus the Christ, and you will be saved. John the Baptist, in seeing Jesus, proclaimed, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Revelation tells us that in heaven, those who are saved will cry out, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. How good God is to us. We were lost in sin with no hope. Now we have hope. There was no way for us to be saved, but God provided a way, and it was through his Son, Jesus, and he is the only way. God sent his Son to be our Emmanuel, God with us. He named him Jesus, Yahweh saves, for he will save his people and all who believe from their sins. Looking forward to the last days, we learn of a time when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. This will be a new name, a more powerful name. This Jesus will be Lord of all. He will be King of kings and Lord of lords. Isn't it a wonder that all we celebrate prophesied long ago from the prophet Isaiah. It's a great wonder that these prophecies were fulfilled. So as we look at the other prophecies in Scripture, we are assured that they too will be fulfilled. We have looked at the name Emmanuel, God with us. We have praised God for Jesus, Yahweh saved. Now we look forward to the day when Jesus will come again and be Lord of all. He will come as Christ the Lord. In that day, he will rule with the power and might of God Almighty. He will come as the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. He will come as the one chosen to rule the world. He will be our King and Lord. He will judge each one of us with truth and mercy. From the beginning of time, God was looking for a people of faith, people who believed in him and obeyed him. But we know what happened with Adam and Eve. Sin came into the world. Since then, God has been looking for those who believe in him. When Jesus came into the world, he was looking for people who believed that he was who he said he was, the sent one of God. When Jesus was born, he came as the Savior of the world. The shepherds believed and rushed to see him. The wise men believed and traveled many miles to bring him gifts and worship. But alas, the Pharisees and Sadducees did not believe. When God called Abraham from his home to go to a place God would give him, Scripture tells us, by faith he made his home in the promised land. Abraham had obedient trust. He believed, and it was counted unto him as righteousness. God expects the same from each of us today, obedient trust. Emmanuel, God is with us, is as true today as it was in the days of Isaiah. That is why the psalmist can say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. The question we must ask as we close out this year of 2012 is, do you believe in Emmanuel, that God is with us? Do you believe that Jesus came to save all who will believe in him? Do you believe that he will come again to take you to the place he has prepared for you? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except by me. To get to God, we must believe in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you answer this question? Do you believe in Jesus? Let's pray. Lord, like the psalmist of old, we know that you are now preparing a place for us, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why do some people have difficulty believing that you want all of us to be with you someday? But like Ahaz and others like him, they would rather trust in themselves and others that are like him, rather than trust in you. Let us prepare our hearts, give him room, and obey his commands for us. Come into our hearts, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come in to our hearts, Lord Jesus. Amen.